booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. We are officially beginning our countdown to the weekend, but it's a bittersweet day because it is my last day alongside Juliet Huddy for the week because she is leaving us for Miami.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I'm really excited. I can't wait. I can't wait to see my little niece, Eliana. She turns 3, and it's just going to be great. I get to dress up as Elsa from Frozen and greet all the little children. And you know what I have to say? Because I didn't have any kids myself, this is like catnip for me. I can't wait. I will miss you.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to miss you too. So I'll look forward to hearing fully back on Monday. Or actually, I'm not going to be here on Monday for Memorial Day. On Tuesday, all about the Elsa situation.
Yes. Well, maybe you'll see some video too.
Oh,
we've got a lot of stuff coming up today, obviously, with all of the things that I just talked about at the top of the hour. And let's see what else. What else is happening? Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us?
All right. Well, I will tell you, I think if you read the headlines in many of today's papers, this might be the first time, Juliet, where you could actually seriously empathize with Republican candidate for mayor Fernando Mateo. I think the headline in today's New York Times says it all. GOP rivals trade insults in chaotic New York City mayoral debate. The first official debate from the campaign finance board's sponsorship of the Republican primary contest aired last night on New York One. Curtis Sliwa, the founder of the Guardian Angels and a former colleague of ours here at WABC, and Fernando Mateo, a restaurateur and livery cab driver advocate, yelled at each other repeatedly during the freewheeling virtual debate, including this moment where Curtis attacked Fernando for his record of corruption.
You think maybe we should do that for many of the corrupt politicians who have been indicted and are doing time now for setting up fake, phony nonprofits, as Fernando Mateo was helping Bill de Blasio do when he gave him illegal campaign contributions to elect
Stop
a mayor
lying.
Who single-handedly destroyed the city of New York. And by the way, look at this federal picture taken by the FBI of you hugging Fernando Mateo, hugging Bill de Blasio, who you raised funds for.
All right. No props. No props, Curtis. This is not the old show. We're not going to do props.
If you didn't see the show, it was basically 16 minutes of that.
Well, I mean, I hope we get back to this. I hope we have some more sound. I'd like to hear some of Fernando Mateo's calling Curtis a liar, a compulsive liar, and accusing him of lying about the police cops kidnapping him. I'm sure it was very entertaining. I wasn't able to watch. But I was actually riveted to the news yesterday about this deadly mass shooting, another one, this time in California. Excuse me. It happened at a light rail yard in San Jose. The names of all the victims have been released. All were employees of the Valley Transportation Authority. They were all between 29 and 63 years old, all men. The shooter, the 57-year-old colleague, Samuel Cassidy, he killed himself after releasing all of this nightmare on these poor people. This comes just days after one of the more deadly weekends we've seen, with at least 12 mass shootings. That was just last weekend.
Amazing.
Between Friday night and Sunday, which is just really shocking and just disgraceful.
Well, cleanup continues across the tri-state following ferocious thunderstorms that swept through the area last night. Winds gusted up to 50 miles per hour throughout Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, and the Bronx. Several towns across the Hudson Valley in New Jersey reported downed trees, with several customers reporting power outages in New Jersey. Utility crews didn't have much work ahead of them in the city, since Con Ed only reported just over a dozen outages.
Well, we've heard Joe Biden say that he did not meet with any of Hunter Biden's nefarious pals, but the New York Post today is reporting that the then vice president met with Ukrainian, Russian, and Kazakhstani business associates of Hunter's at a dinner in D.C. again, while he was vice president. And this is according to records on Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. Now, whether or not these are accurate is a whole other question. But this is what they say, essentially, that the dinner was held in April of 2015 in the private garden room at Cafe Milano, where I've been many a time in Georgetown. The catchphrase there is where the world's most powerful people go. I mean, it's a hot spot for the political elite there. The next day, according to the New York Post, Hunter received an email from one of these folks, an executive from the Ukrainian agency, energy company Burisma, to thank him for introducing him to his father. So, of course, this will raise questions about how much Joe Biden, who said that he doesn't have any idea about his son's activities, knew about Hunter's dealings with these questionable groups.
Well, speaking of dealings with unsavory characters, the one and only Joe Nolan has traffic and transit on the sevens. Hello, Joe.
Well, good morning, Frank. Good morning to Juliet as well. And as you begin to travel out onto the northbound Bruckner, coming up to Sheridan, accident one lane out, Cross Island southbound and Northern Boulevard, unauthorized truck. Again, right lane out of service. Now on the Deegan southbound, right at Yankee Stadium on the off ramp there, a vehicle fire. Southbound 109 at Newark Airport, there is an accident. Also, Route 28 in central New Jersey eastbound coming into 287. That would be Bridgewater. A tractor trailer and a pedestrian accident. All lanes are closed there. An alternate side of the street parking rules, again today, are going to be in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're going to have some clouds this morning, but they will give way to sun. Generally sunny skies for the afternoon. We're going to have a high of about 83 degrees with some light winds. It's going to be a nice night tonight. 58 degrees. Pretty mild, I guess you could say. Tomorrow, it's going to be another one of those kind of lousy days. Partly cloudy skies in the morning. We'll have some showers here and there in the afternoon. High of about 68. Saturday, it's going to get really chilly, 56 degrees. It'll start off with rain, and then it'll just kind of remain cloudy. May have some scattered showers in the afternoon. But again, the high of 56. Sunday, this is just such bad news for everybody. Showers, cloudy. High of around 60 degrees. But by Monday, it looks pretty nice. So Memorial Day, we're okay. It looks actually beautiful. 72 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. Currently, it's 68 degrees in New York City.
Mayor de Blasio says he's focused on beating back COVID-19. It came after he was asked about how the transition of power would work following the mayoral election in November. Debates between both Republican and Democratic candidates are heating up ahead of the primaries in June. De Blasio says he's solely focused on a recovery for the city and getting it to a good place before handing over power.
The notorious New Yorker known as Central Park Karen, is back in the news. You might recall she made headlines after a cell phone video went viral showing her calling 911, on an innocent bird watcher who happened to be black. She is now suing her former employer, Franklin Templeton. She says her firing caused severe emotional distress and it actually made her suicidal. The investment firm calls the allegations baseless and they insist they responded appropriately. The 2020 event in question was notable for the fact that she told emergency operators that this, quote, black man was threatening her life when video proved he did no such thing.
Cops are investigating after a pedestrian was struck on the Henry Hudson Parkway. The accident closed all southbound lanes at West 32nd Street in the Bronx. Authorities reported the accident just before 1:45 this morning. No word if there were any arrests or what condition the pedestrian is in.
All right. Yeah. President Biden is having his first face-to-face with Vladimir Putin next month at the G7. That's all fine and good. But it's the meeting with the Queen that has the world tittering with excitement. Or maybe just me. The White House announced yesterday that 46 will travel to the UK for the G7, followed by NATO and EU meetings in Brussels, and of course then that Putin chat in Geneva. And while he is in London, he is expected to have a spot of tea with the Queen at her London home, Buckingham Palace. This will be the 13th time Her Majesty has met with an American president in her 69-year reign. Frank, her first meeting was with whom? Which president?
Ooh, this is an excellent question. It's going to be a guess on my part, obviously. Okay. But I'm going to go ahead and guess Dwight Eisenhower.
President Truman in 1951.
One off.
But very good. Good guess.
All right. Well, New York City is naming its first female to lead the city's 80th Corporation Council. Georgia Pastina has been a New York City lawyer for three decades and won't only be the first woman to lead the department, but the first Latina to do so. In her role, Pastina will work with roughly 1,000 of the city's lawyers and nearly 900 support professionals.
Speaking of lawyers, D.A. Cy Vance's office has reportedly told at least one witness to get ready to testify in front of the Trump grand jury. The Daily Mail reporting Vance was pushing to wrap things up before he retires at the end of the year. Meantime, the former president remains defiant after Tuesday's grand jury revelation, insisting the move by Vance is just a, quote, continuation of the greatest witch hunt in American history. Experts say Trump's inner circle is increasingly anxious given Vance's access to documents that one referred to as the mother load. Now, Vance got his hands on Trump's tax returns after what seemed like endless legal wrangling, of course, and we were talking about that for several years. That led all the way up to the Supreme Court, and he has teamed up with the state's attorney general, whose investigation has recently turned from civil to criminal. Now, legal observers say the key to the fate of Trump and his close family members and allies could be one guy, Alan Weisselberg. He's the CFO of the Trump Organization. He's someone who potentially knows the inner workings of the Trump world better than anyone, and insiders are saying that he may get ready to flip.
Governor Andrew Cuomo is speaking out against a series of anti-Semitic crimes happening across New York City. In a statement yesterday, he referred to the vandalism of a synagogue on Staten Island and several kosher restaurants throughout the city, along with ongoing harassment of members of the Jewish community. He said that New York State police have picked up patrols around synagogues, schools, and other Jewish facilities, as well as conducted outreach to the community.
New Jersey's highest court upheld the conviction of a mother whose son went missing and whose body was later discovered in a creek near the little boy's home. In a split decision, essentially allowing an earlier appellate ruling rejecting Michelle Ludzinski's appeal to hold. So this 1991 case garnered national publicity. I remember this. The at the time 23-year-old mother told cops that her son disappeared when he was at a local carnival. After 25 years under suspicion, she was ultimately convicted. She is currently serving a 30-year prison sentence with no chance of parole. Her attorneys say despite this recent blip, they may try to take the case to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court.
New York City teachers are pushing for a recovery plan to support students. City Council Speaker Corey Johnson is backing the efforts by the United Federation of Teachers, calling for school intervention teams, smaller class sizes, and trauma training. They're also calling for college and career prep for high schoolers, along with extended summer learning programs. The UFT thanks Johnson for his support, saying that Mayor de Blasio now needs to get on board.
So how is our little sickie feeling, Sid? How's he doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great.
I mean, what was the deal? Was it the shot?
Yeah, you know what? I got up at my regular time, 3:45, and right. I couldn't get to the bathroom. I couldn't make it. My body was like dead. But I got to tell you, by 11 a.m., I felt great. I got Botox. I went to the gym. I look great today. So it was like just early in the morning. I just couldn't make it.
But, yeah, a lot of people say it's just that 12-hour sort of window.
Yeah, even less. So yeah. It's done. I am now fully vaccinated, and I'm here to talk sports, Juliet. And what a night it was for New York. Playoff victories on home court and home ice. Let's start with the Knicks. They were the big story. Again, off to a very slow start after losing game one last night. In fact, they trailed the Hawks by 13 at halftime. But they blew them out in the second half, 57-35. The Knicks outscored Atlanta en route to a 101-92 victory at Madison Square Garden. They evened up the series at one game apiece. Julius Randle had a double-double, didn't shoot well again, but he went 15-12. But the real star off the bench was Derrick Rose, who led the way with 26 points and said this after the Knicks win.
We went through everything that we went through in the game, fighting and scratching and clawing to get there, playing against a great young team. So to get that far and to play the way that we played, to come back and get the lead, and not only that, but to win, it shows a lot. It shows fight.
Game three comes up on Friday night. Also, NBA last night, Philly blew out Washington 120-95. The top seed Sixers were up 2-0. And the top seed in the West, Utah, they beat Memphis 141-129. That series is now 1-1. Mets and Rockies and Yankees and Blue Jays both rained out yesterday. No local baseball because of the weather here in New York. But A big win on the island. Yes, for the first time in almost 30 years, the Islanders close out a series on home ice. They beat the Penguins last night 5-3 to take out Pittsburgh in six. Here's Brock Nelson talking about the win on Long Island.
It was fun to get it done tonight in front of them. And it's just one step. We want to try and, you know, make some history of our own here and put a nice run together at the goalie.
Unbelievable. Next up for the Islanders, the Boston Bruins in second-round Stanley Cup play. Knicks win, Islanders win. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan, Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers with sports at 15 and 45. I'm Sid.
517, let's check in at traffic and transit on the sevens with Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
And hello, Frank. Hello, Juliet. Hello, everybody. And again, we're in pretty good shape. Not that much for you to worry about on the main roads, although the Cross Island southbound, we have that unauthorized truck in the right lane. They're working on that. The Deegan southbound at Yankee Stadium on the off-ramp, there is a vehicle fire. Now, in New Jersey, it's a different story. 109 southbound, right by Newark Airport, there is an accident. Apparently, that is in the local lane, so you want to try to obviously avoid that. Use the express. That'll get you around it very nicely. Then eastbound on Route 28, this would be in Bridgewater, New Jersey, just about before 287. Tractor-trailer accident. There's an accident investigation. All lanes are closed. Verrazano Bridge now, Staten Island bound, lower level is closed. That for maintenance. And alternate side again today is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you very much. Yep. Coming up in Frank's Business Report, you know, summer vacations are happening. People are getting ready. And a lot of folks are driving. Will gas prices make everybody's summer? Will it rain on everybody's parade? Also, coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, Christian, you ask and you shall receive. I'm going to have some great baseball-oriented travel info.
Thanks, Juliet.
You're welcome.
This is the WABC Early News.
The WABC Early News Time, 5:20, where we always give you all the facts. The opening bell rings this morning. After a quiet day on Wall Street, the NASDAQ was up slightly, while the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the S&P 500 were flat but in the green. The markets again lack direction as they wait for the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index to be released by the Federal Reserve on Friday. That figure is one of the Fed's most important indicators for inflation. At yesterday's close, the Dow rose almost 10 points, the S&P 500 gained 8 points, and the NASDAQ gained 80 points. Get ready for sticker shock at the pump. 34 million drivers are expected to hit the road this Memorial Day weekend and faced the highest gas prices since 2014. That warning from AAA. Even though things have stabilized after a pipeline cyber attack 3 weeks ago, the national average now tops $3. In fact, it's $1.07 higher than this time last year. Other experts say that oil production just hasn't made a full recovery to pre-COVID levels, Julia.
Thank you very much. Georgia's newest rep seems to have a passion for Hitler. A somewhat jarring video has surfaced showing her defending the concept of a statue of the Führer here in America.
Whether I see a statue that may be something that I would fully disagree with, like Adolf Hitler, maybe a statue of Satan himself, I would not want to say take it down. But again, it's so that I could tell my children and teach others about who these people are, what they did, and what they may be about.
This seems to be getting a lot of play, but the fact is she was genuinely saying that she, as you just heard, she thinks that people should be able to learn from some of these statues, but the comments were made at a Dalton, Georgia City Council meeting last June, shortly after she won the GOP primary. She has since been under fire for comparing measures meant to keep people safe from COVID to the Holocaust.
Boy, jeez. All right, 5:22. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Moreno.
She's a lightning rod.
That she
I don't know if
is.
You've noticed that.
Yeah, that she is. New York, the NYPD is releasing photos of a suspect accused of shooting a teenager in Brooklyn. The incident happened back on May 11th in front of 2163 Dean Street when a man wearing a skull mask to cover his face got into a verbal argument with a 16-year-old. That's when the suspect pulled out a handgun and shot the teen in his left leg before fleeing the scene.
Workers in New Jersey can soon go maskless. That is, if they've been vaccinated. That is the word from Governor Phil Murphy. He made the announcement yesterday. Meantime, all you folks who've been working remotely, get ready for that phone to ring. Murphy says you can now be called back to the office. The new orders go into effect next week.
Well, you talk about the removal of the mask mandate for the vaccinated. Summer camps are a different story. New Jersey may be removing its indoor mask mandate for the fully vaccinated tomorrow, but kids will still be expected to keep them on. Summer camps and summer school programs will have to ensure children are masked even if they're outdoors. At a COVID briefing yesterday, New Jersey Health Department medical advisor Dr. Eddie Bresnitz said the issue of outdoor activity for children in a camp setting is not an easy one to ask. As the current rule stands, campers will only be allowed to unmask for eating, swimming, or excessive heat.
Isn't that what they had to deal with last summer?
That's my understanding.
Yeah, so I guess if they hated it, they just won't go back. But, oh, what a nightmare. Well, let's go to some entertainment news, shall we? Who'd have thought a marriage that started out as an affair thrown in the face of America's sweetheart would end up falling apart itself? Me. Brangelina, a.k.a. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. I don't know if you've been following this at all, but they've been battling over custody of their 5 minor children for a while now. It's apparently been pretty ugly, with accusations of domestic violence and other nefarious allegations being thrown out by each side. But yesterday, peace finally arrived, at least for one party. The Daily News reporting Pitt won joint custody, 50-50, effective immediately. Jolie, not pleased. She filed paperwork Monday accusing the judge of denying her a fair trial by not allowing the kids to testify. The former super couple got together while shooting a movie. What was it? Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I think it was.
That's right.
Yeah. Pitt was married to Jennifer Aniston at the time. Rumors began swirling on set and were fueled even more when Pitt and Jolie, you remember this? This is what just made me go, are you joking? When Pitt and Jolie, while he's still married, posed for a spread in W magazine, and it was called Domestic Bliss, showing the two lounging around like old married folk. It was this very glamorous spread. And that obviously prompted Aniston to utter that famous phrase, Brad's missing a sensitivity chip. Hmm. Well, fast forward to 2016, Jolie files for divorce after 12 years together.
Comedian Jon Stewart is supporting legislation to take care of American veterans suffering from medical issues. Stewart went to Capitol Hill yesterday on behalf of veterans who developed long-term health issues as a result of being exposed to burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. Stewart joined House Veterans Affairs Committee members. He was in D.C. last month speaking about the organization Burn Pits 360, saying veterans are not just flags, they're not just bumper stickers, they're human beings.
Hey, guys, don't throw that banana peel away. We could use it to build our new home. Japanese researchers say it's not just banana carcasses that can be turned into construction materials. Seaweed and cabbage leaves, apparently, are also sturdy when they're sort of retrofitted and reformatted. Scientists figured out a way to use some sort of heat pressing concept that turns wood powder into materials at least as strong as concrete. And they altered this sort of process a little bit, and voila, materials good enough for any Home Depot. The only disappointment was pumpkins, apparently. Pumpkins they weren't up to snuff.
Senator Elizabeth Warren is going after the nation's big banks for overdraft fees charged during the pandemic. During a Senate Banking Committee hearing yesterday, she accused top executives of prioritizing profits over people struggling. The Massachusetts Democrat says customers at Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo paid a combined $4 billion in overdraft fees last year.
Just a little more than 24 hours till the big day down in Lavalette, with Joe Nolan, who's covering traffic and transit for us on the 7s. Hello, Joseph.
And hello, Juliet, and thank you for mentioning that. It's going to be a lot of fun down there at the Crab's Claw on tomorrow afternoon. 1 o'clock is going to be a good time.
All right.
It'll still be going later in the day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to go on after we go off. I mean, we're on from 1 to 3. Last year, I think the Captain O'Neill played to like 6 or 7 o'clock at night, so... Oh. You know, and for us, that's late. On the Bruckner northbound of the Sheridan, an accident with one lane out. Cross Island northbound Northern Boulevard, that unauthorized truck that's still there in the right lane. Deegan southbound at Yankee Stadium, a vehicle fire that continues. 109 southbound at Newark Airport. Again, that accident also still in the process of being cleared. Then a bad accident out in Bridgewater on Route 28, right by 287. A tractor trailer, unfortunately, and a pedestrian got involved in a crash. So that is in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. Mass Transit looks to be pretty good. And alternate side in effect today. The support of service of Indeed.com with Indeed Instant Match. You can accelerate the hiring process. Just sponsor a job and you'll get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Fast hiring, no speeding tickets. Visit Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, yep. Joseph. And coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, summer baseball-themed vacations. I'm going to tell you all about, if you're a baseball fan, all about how you can plan some family fun this summer. But first, we're going to get to some of the top headlines.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Welcome back, everyone, to the 77 WABC Early News. I can't get my words out.
We need a shorter title. That's what it is.
I know, really. It is 5:31 right now. Frank, on this day, 1703, the Russian Tsar Peter the Great founded St. Petersburg.
Huh.
Yes.
That was pretty great.
If I founded my own city, I would name it after myself. Oh, I would name it after you, Frank.
No, stop.
Franklin.
Please.
Franklinburg.
How about Frankfurt?
Frankfurt. Frankfurter.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, basketball fans are reacting to an NBA playoff moment seen off court. It happened last night during the 76ers win at home over the Wizards. As Wizards guard Russell Westbrook left the floor with an ankle injury, someone appeared to dump popcorn on him. He then had to be restrained by staff and security as the person was later ejected. After the game, he said the amount of incidents with fans is getting out of control.
Oh, people have no respect. Well, seems Kim Kardashian needs to spend a little more time keeping up with her studies. The reality star turned businesswoman turned law student reportedly failed her law test, referring to it as the baby bar. The soon-to-be single star is doing a four-year law program that usually it's 3 years. I guess I can forgive her for that since she's, seems to have somewhat of a busy life. She says she spent 6 weeks studying 10 hours a day for the test, but seems to be a bit frustrated now, especially because she's had to take so much time out of her family life. Keeping up with the Kardashians on E! Made the family household names, as you know, and in some cases, billionaires. This is the last season, but the group has reportedly signed on to produce content for Hulu.
Friends star Matthew Perry is catching a lot of heat over his T-shirts linked to coronavirus vaccinations. They say, quote, "Could I be any more vaccinated?" close quote, which is inspired by his character on the hit show. One issue is with the word vaccinated being in the same font as the Friends logo.
Oh,
others
please.
Feel he's being insensitive and using the pandemic to make money. The clothing line comes as the big reunion special premieres today on HBO Max.
I think that's funny.
I think so, too.
And it's cute. Oh, you're so sensitive. Well, maybe I'm just not sensitive. I don't know. We have a royal alert, Christian. We have a royal alert. If the British royal family thought Harry's last Oprah chat was the end, oh, no. It is likely just the beginning. The unlikely duo are back together again tomorrow with a follow-up discussion about... They're going to milk this for everything they can. A follow-up discussion about their previous shocking discussion where the Duke of Sussex unloads on his family and his upbringing. The documentary series about mental health is called The Me You Can't See. And while the Queen may be bristling over all of this, Apple is celebrating. The company says the series has brought about 25% more viewers to the platform and a more than 40% increase in weekend viewership in the UK. That's incredible.
That sure is. We also have a papal alert coming your way. Do we have a papal alert themed, Christian?
Just play the royal alert.
Yeah, no. Well, Pope Francis shared a tender moment with a Holocaust survivor yesterday He kissed the number the Nazis tattooed on the woman's arm when she was 3 years old. The now 80-year-old Polish woman rolled up her sleeve during a Vatican visit to show the Pope the tattoo, and he bent down and kissed it before embracing the woman. She and millions of other Jewish men and women and children were sent to the infamous Auschwitz concentration camp. After the camp was liberated at the end of World War II, she was taken in by a Polish Catholic family.
Well, we have some sad news out of politics and Hollywood. Senator John Warner, who was number six in the Liz Taylor marriage lineup, has passed away. The two met at an event with the Queen. Warner's chief of staff says her boss died Tuesday of heart failure at home in Alexandria, Virginia, with his wife and his daughter by his side.
Didn't he run? Didn't he defeat Oliver North when Oliver North ran for the U.S. Senate as well?
I don't recall.
I'm pretty sure that he did. Well, I could be mistaken. There's a lot of ex-husbands and a lot of Virginia senators as well.
Don't I know it.
All right. Well, Facebook is now warning its users about pages that repeatedly share false information. The social media company says a box pops up when users try to like the page, warning them that the Facebook's independent fact checkers have found its information to be false. It then gives you the option of going back to the previous page or following it anyway. The warning box also has a Learn More link that explains why the page is misleading. Facebook says it will also expand penalties for individual accounts that repeatedly share misinformation.
Adding insult to injury is an idiom that certainly seems to apply to this next story. Oh, boy. The New York Times reporting COVID patients are being smacked with astronomical medical bills. The paper tallied up the costs for one guy at $1 million, and he didn't make it. He actually didn't survive. But his family, of course, got the bill. Other shocking expenses include $50,000 for an air ambulance and $5,400 for hearing aids. Insurance companies were supposed to waive fees for long-haul treatment, but according to the Times, patients still got charged. You don't deal with allergies, do you?
I don't. Oh. I don't have allergies, but I have sort of perpetual sinusitis. Irrespective of the season, I almost always feel like I have to blow my nose.
Oh, well, you should probably go get your the inside scraped.
You're right. I should do that. And because I'm always blowing my nose, the other issue that I constantly have, especially now when the seasons start to change, is I always get nosebleeds.
I've heard that about you.
I have gotten nosebleeds at some of the most inopportune times. I was hosting a television show trying to break a Guinness World Record. Nosebleed. I was doing a newscast when I was on my college radio station. Nosebleed.
Well, maybe it's because you're feeling pressure.
It could be.
You know? I mean, seriously. I don't know. He never feels any pressure. Joe Nolan is kind of the king of traffic and transit. No pressure on his end.
Oh, no, never. Northbound on the Bruckner, the Sheridan, an accident again. That one lane out of service. Same thing on the Deegan now southbound. Right around Yankee Stadium, that vehicle fire is on the off-ramp. Now, if you're on the Southern State, westbound of Peninsula Boulevard, pretty bad accident. The off-ramp there shut down as well. Now, on the eastbound side of Route 28 in central New Jersey in Bridgewater, there's a pretty bad accident. That's in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. We're also looking at delays on the Cross Island northbound and Northern Boulevard with an unauthorized truck. Mass Transit is good this morning. They have no problems at all. Alternate side of the street parking rules are in effect. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you very much. Frank is going to be talking about durable goods and their orders, so that should be really interesting. Coming up in just a moment.
Why
but first
are you
of all,
laughing?
Well, I mean, it's just, I can't think of a better tease for it. But I'll come up with it next time.
Thank
because
you.
I know we get these durable goods info, you know, it comes out here every now and then, so I'll come up with a good one because I have to keep my, you know, my streak going of brilliant teases. But let's first talk about the weather. Not so brilliant. Today is actually going to be nice, but then pretty much the weekend is a wash, I hate to tell you. Today we're going to get up to about 83 degrees. We'll have some clouds in the morning and generally sunny skies for the afternoon, so that's great news. Unfortunately, tomorrow, Friday, we're going to have partly cloudy skies during the morning hours and occasional showers in the afternoon. The weather's going to be pretty chilly, 68 degrees, and then it really drops by Saturday, 56 degrees for a high. Rain early, and then it'll be cloudy with scattered showers in the afternoon. Sunday, again, more rain, cloudy with rain showers pretty much all throughout the day, a high of 60 degrees. But finally, Monday looks nice, 72 with a mix of clouds and sun. So that's good. 68 degrees right now in New York City.
So I'm going to have to drive down to the Jersey Shore by myself Friday afternoon in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the sound of that.
But you know what? When you get there, you go inside, pour yourself a beer or whatever you're going to drink, and forget about it.
All right.
Well, it's all good.
Okay. Well, there's quite a bit happening in the world of business. We saw kind of a mixed day on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow rose 10 points. The S&P gained 8 points, and the Nasdaq gained 80 points. But the news this week and today is really about the economics report trifecta. That's what's leading off this morning. Weekly jobless numbers, April durable goods orders, and first quarter GDP growth all come out today at 8:30. So in spite of what Juliet may say, that is exciting when it comes to knowing the status of our economy. Analysts expect about 425,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week, which would be down from the prior week's 444,000. Pending home sales for April will be out at 10 o'clock this morning, and housing industry analysts are forecasting a 2% increase over March and a 35% jump over April of last year, Juliet.
I got to take video of my husband. I'm doing the show from home right now because I got to head out to the airport. We've got my mom's two dogs here and my dog. My husband's running around downstairs like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to keep them quiet. So hysterical. Oh, my God. The poor thing. Oh, so if you hear it in the background, it's either Gomez or Cheeto or Winnie. All right. Let's get to the Jet Set Juliet travel update, shall we? All right. If you recall yesterday, Christian asked me when I was going to do a Jet Set Juliet segment about baseball stadiums. So without further ado, I found a great website called Wanderoo. And the lovely folks there put the whole trip together. Basically, if your bucket list includes visiting all of America's major league ballparks, this is for you. Now, they added a special twist. If you follow their advice, you can do this in one fell swoop for roughly $1,000. All right, not so bad. But most people don't have the time to do that. I'm not sure how many people will be will be doing this. But if you're interested, I'm posting a link right now to the site. They've created a little map, including bus and train rides and flights and information. It's an itinerary based on the shortest possible travel between each city and the average lowest fare for each route. Now, I just have to say, they did this back in 2018. So prices are obviously going to be a bit different. But what I love about this is that they give you a great starting point to essentially curate your own trip. And obviously, you don't have to do it all in one packed vacation, and you don't have to go to, you know, every single ballpark that they tell you to go to. So make sure you check out my Twitter at Juliet Huddy TV right now. It is posting and you'll see that link. But that's not all, Christian. That's not all. Next, let's talk about my favorite trips for baseball fans. I'm going to start with a personal favorite. I grew up a Pirates fan, but my dad loved them. And, you know, we'd go to spring training games when I was a little one growing up down in Miami. But during high school, I lived in D.C., and I became a huge Orioles fan. So huge, by the way, that I convinced the manager of the Orioles baseball store in D.C. to hire me, even though I was only 15. So I used to sell tickets, and if the good box seats weren't sold, I'd take them and I'd drive to Baltimore. Now, I'm not sure if I was actually allowed to do this, but whatever. It was like 30 years ago. At the time, it was still Memorial Stadium, which was god-awful. That is why I absolutely love Camden Yards. To me, this is the epitome of a baseball stadium. It's a throwback to the good old days when families would go to the ballpark together and they'd cheer on their team. You know, so much of the mystique is because of the fact that they've really made it super family friendly. It's a place that you really do feel safe bringing your kids. And by the way, the stadium itself really changed baseball in that it inspired other teams to kind of redo their parks to reflect tradition and to embrace the charm of the old days. And man, I'm telling you, it's a great way to experience the whole Baltimore area. On top of that, it's an easy walk to Baltimore's gorgeous Inner Harbor.
And so I would just add to that, I'm sorry to interrupt, yeah. But I never saw a game there, but I did go on a tour there during the baseball strike of 1994. Mm-hmm. And it is right near
Babe Ruth.
Oh, you were ahead of me.
Yes,
all right, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry. No,
we can talk about it. It's got, obviously, Baltimore, great seafood. The Inner Harbor area has an aquarium. There are boat rides. It has an amphitheater where there's, you know, concerts. experts, families, friends, couples, old, young. It's all right there for you. Not to mention the fact that it's right down the block from 216 Emery Street, where none other than Babe Ruth was born, which it's now a museum featuring memorabilia from not only his career, but his childhood. So it's really a fun trip. And by the way, you may even run into my favorite player of all time, Cal Ripken Jr. Next, head up north of New York City, of course, to the spot where my man Cal is honored, along with every other amazing player, the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. I mean, look, this is a trip that you have to make if you're a baseball fan. I was kind of like, but I ended up going and I freaked out. It was so great. I would suggest visiting in July when fans and former superstars head down or head to town for the inductee ceremony, because you'll actually see some of these famous players. Now, I don't have enough time, obviously, to tell you about every single great stadium, so I'm just going to keep it to my favorites. Chicago, Wrigley Field. Just a killer weekend trip. I know a lot of you probably have been up to Fenway in Boston, and it's kind of got that same vibe. It's when within walking distance of a cool area of town. And then, of course, once the game is over, you have Chicago. You've got great nightlife, great food. You've got the beach along Michigan, Lake Michigan there. It does a great job of making you feel like you're not landlocked. And don't forget to do the famous architecture boat tour. Again, I can't talk about great baseball vacations without mentioning spring training in Florida. The tradition, I believe, started in 1886 when the Chicago White Stockings headed to Arkansas to get in shape for the upcoming season. They did it and others followed. And I've got some more tips for you, but I'm going to bring it to my Instagram and my Twitter account at Juliet Huddy TV. That's at Juliet Travel.
Well, it's an appropriate transition to a man that knows baseball and all sports better than anybody, our own Sid Rosenberg.
Thank you, Frank. There was no baseball last night. Both local teams rained out. The Mets rained out in Queens against the Rockies. The Yankees rained out in the Bronx, taking on the Blue Jays. But today's stories are basketball and hockey. Home wins for the first time in a long time. Let's start with the Knickerbockers. Hadn't won a playoff game in 8 years since 2013. Lost game one to Atlanta. Game two again. Found themselves down 13 at the half. But a monster second half by the Knicks. They outscored Atlanta 57-35. Ran the Knicks to a 101-92 comeback win over the Hawks. Evened up the series at one game apiece. Again, winning that first playoff game in 8 years. Derrick Rose was the star with 26 points off the bench. Here was Rose after the win.
Going through everything that we went through in the game, fighting and scratching and clawing to get there, playing against a great young team. So to get that far and to play the way that we played, to come back and get the lead, and not only that, but to win, it shows a lot. It shows fight.
Once again, that series now with the Knicks and Hawks even, one game apiece. Game three coming up from Atlanta on Friday night. Also last night, the one seed in the West, Utah, beat Memphis 141-129. That series is 1-1. And the top seed in the East, the 76ers, blew out the Wizards 120-95. Philly leads that series 2-0. Celebration on Long Island. Yes, another first in a long time. Nearly 30 years since the Islanders closed out a playoff series on home ice. But last night, they beat the Penguins 5-3. They win that series in six. Here's Islander star Brock Nelson talking about that.
It was fun to get it done tonight in front of them. And it's just one step. We want to try and, you know, make some history of our own here and put a nice run together at the goalie.
Next up for the Islanders, round two, the Boston Bruins. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Big stories today again. The Knicks get the win, and the Islanders wrap it up against the Penguins. With sports at 15:45. I'm Sid.
547 here with traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe.
All right, Frank. On the Bruckner northbound, the Sheridan, that accident still there. One lane out. Same thing on the Cross Island southbound. Coming into Northern Boulevard, unauthorized truck, right lane out of service. Deegan southbound at Yankee Stadium. On the off-ramp, there's a vehicle fire. They are still working on that. Southern State westbound, Peninsula Boulevard. Look for a crash. Also, as you head onto the eastbound side of Route 28, we continue to have that problem in Bridgewater, right by 287, a tractor-trailer accident. Mass Transit's in good shape this morning. Alternate side again today, in effect, with traffic on the 7s. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it is going to be now abundantly sunny today. That is the newest forecast coming out of my forecasting little pot there. So high of 83, lots of sun, could not have a more perfect day. However, enjoy it, because tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday look pretty lousy. Tomorrow, 67 degrees for a high with rain and clouds throughout the day and evening. Saturday, 56 degrees with rain throughout the day and evening. And Sunday, 60 degrees with showers throughout the day and evening. Monday, however, looks beautiful. 72 degrees, partly sunny skies. Really nice. Currently right now it's 67 out in my hood in Huntington.
An Ohio woman is the state's newest millionaire. Abigail Bukensky of Silverton won the first $1 million prize through the state's Vax-a-Million lottery. The program gives people the chance to win $1 million if they get the coronavirus vaccine. Over the next few weeks, a total of five people will be given $1 million prizes. The lottery also awards a scholarship to Ohioans ages 12 through 17 who are vaccinated. Joseph Costello of Englewood won that first scholarship.
How old is she? Do you know?
The $1 million winner or yeah. the scholarship winner?
The $1 million winner.
I don't know.
Oh, I want to look because I saw a picture of her when I was just kind of scanning by and she looks pretty young.
Hmm. Well, oh, good man, for her. That'd pays to be vaccinated.
Unless
you do it early.
Exactly. Does she have to pay taxes on that? I mean, I'm guessing she does.
Yes.
But, you know, see, that's the thing. Let her just have the million.
Well, I mean, you'd have to take that up with the IRS, Juliet.
Well, I would not be happy to do that. You win money, and
the IRS wants its cut.
Well, I know that. Oh, don't I ever. If Jeffrey Epstein pal Ghislaine Maxwell thought her fame and money would spring her from a whole heap of trouble, she appears to be sadly mistaken. The Daily Mail reporting the dead pedo's co-conspirators will join forces to testify against the alleged madam. Now, these co-conspirators are the attractive women that we've been hearing about for the last couple of years who have been accused of helping recruit, groom, and set up trysts between underage girls and Jeffrey Epstein. So apparently they're going to get off lightly, which to me is a shame. But they just want, you know, this Ghislaine Maxwell, she's going down.
Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson are teaming up against Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau in the next edition of The Match this summer. The golf event will take place at the Moonlight Basin Golf Course in Big Sky, Montana. Mickelson is fresh off his PGA Championship win and will look to avenge his and Brady's loss in last year's competition. The match will take place on July 6th.
Walmart is reeling after a racist email was sent out to hundreds of customers, and these were hundreds of customers all over the globe. It had to do with George Floyd's murder, and it used the N-word. The company blames a, quote, external bad actor and has apologized. How does that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. No idea. It looks like a group of bears felt left out of a pool party in Tennessee. Michelle Johnson shared a YouTube video that showed seven bears getting into a village pool while a group of high school students was trying to have a party. In a follow-up Facebook post, Johnson said, although bears are common in the area, the pool's employees had never seen that many at once.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of high school students, a Long Island high schooler is not happy her sonnet wasn't published in the school's literary magazine. So not happy that she has indicated she is going to sue for $2 million. Ruby Ray is her name. She is a 10th grader at Vandermolen High School in Port Jeff. She says that she is being discriminated against. Ray, who is white, claims the, quote, predominantly white institution has a problem with her content. That would be George Floyd. She says the school regards her as a writer and student who identifies with and promotes the cause of African Americans. And that is why she says she's being discriminated against, because she couldn't have her sonnet about George Floyd in this magazine. Her family says the school said the poem was, quote, dangerous. So they filed a notice, the family did, of claim Tuesday, which just happened to be, of course, the anniversary of Floyd's death.
Imagine finding some cold, hard cash when you go to buy your baby diapers. Well, one Southern California couple is making that possible. Crystal Dehaney, who is a mother of two, posted a video on her Instagram putting money into diaper boxes and formula cans.
Oh.
In the post's caption, Dehaney says she and her husband went to various Target stores in Southern California and hid money in baby items. The footage was shared on the Good News Movement Instagram account, and the two posts have received over 350,000 likes combined.
Oh, that is so sweet. I wonder how much money they put in.
Yeah, it's a good question.
I hope they did it in a place that when you open it, you're going to see it and not throw it out.
Well, I would assume that that's the case.
But you never know.
We'll see.
You never know. Christian, get ready because I'm going to give the update on the Southwest Airlines story that we told you about yesterday. A Southwest Airlines flight attendant lost two of her teeth after being socked in the face by an angry passenger. So we're hearing more details about this whole scrape up this morning. One witness has come forward and she says that it was the flight attendant who provoked the passenger by aggressively speaking to her and touching her. And that witness, her name is Michelle Manor. She spoke to a local TV station. It's a little hard to hear, so hopefully we can maybe play it twice. But just listen to what she has to say.
Viviana had said to her three times that we could hear, get off of me, get off, quit touching me, get off of my, get off of, put, get your hands off of me.
Did you hear that? Was that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to make sure because it's, you know, it sounded a little tinny and canny, but yeah. So this witness is saying that the woman, the passenger, was being touched and sort of pushed and, you know, just physically touched by this flight attendant and started getting upset and finally said, you know, enough is enough and punched the flight attendant in the face. It apparently started when the flight attendant asked the passenger and her group to put their masks on. Southwest says the passenger repeatedly ignored safety instructions and became verbally abusive.
A former official who went public about a UFO program says the Pentagon is trying to discredit him. Lou Elizondo has filed a complaint with the Pentagon's inspector general, claiming the agency has started a disinformation campaign against him. It was in 2008 that Elizondo was a counterintelligence specialist who worked on a Pentagon program investigating unmanned aerial phenomena. He retired in 2017 and went public about the program and said the Pentagon was not taking seriously the many intrusions into military airspace by high-performance unknown aircraft. The Pentagon has not commented on the report. Next month, the Pentagon will deliver an unclassified report to Congress about the unidentified phenomena.
Oh, boy. They better back off. That guy's got a lot of support.
Yeah, no, he was, as the audience may remember, he was recently featured in that 60 Minutes piece a couple of weeks ago. He was also on Tucker Carlson last week. So he's been very, very prominent in terms of the UFO disclosure movement.
And he was on that History Channel show, the series Unidentified, which was really what blew it open for me.
Yeah.
He's excellent.
He strikes me as a very, very credible guy.
Yes, he does. And the people that he's working with strike me as very credible as well. It is time now for traffic and transit on the sevens with Joe Nolan, who is getting ready for his big bash down in Lavalette. He's very excited about it. I wish I could be there, Joe. Joseph? There you go.
I'm here.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Just you're dazing off into oblivion, just thinking about tomorrow.
Now, first day of summer tomorrow, Crab's Claw in Friday, 1 o'clock, benefiting the Maureen E. Nolan Foundation, the scholarship fund. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And
this guy, Rob Snyder, we have, who is our star. You know that song, She's Got the Best of Me, Juliet, that country song by Luke Combs?
Yes.
He wrote that.
Oh, that's neat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so and he has a song called Jersey, which is great.
Oh, good.
And it's all about his experiences on Long Beach Island,
and
so it's actually pretty cool.
At 2:30, the WABC audience, while I am in for Greg Kelly, will get to hear Joe Nolan's Salute to the Jersey Shore live, which is worth checking out. Oh.
That's going to be very cool. I can't believe you guys are doing that. That is very, very, very cool. All right, here we go. As you begin to travel out there, we got a new problem, a new very big problem. This is New Jersey Transit. There is no service in and out of Hoboken. Everything is suspended. Police activity. Trying to find out exactly what this is. But again, police activity. New Jersey Transit trains are suspended in and out of Hoboken. That is a very big deal. If you're southbound on the Deegan at 233rd Street, an accident, two lanes are out, the left and center. If you're on the Southern State westbound Peninsula Boulevard, two right lanes are out now with an accident there. That's still being cleared. And we still have what's left of a vehicle fire on the southbound side of the Deegan getting off at Yankee Stadium. Mass transit other than Jersey Transit seems to be okay. And alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are going to be in effect. The support of service of Indeed.com with Indeed Instant Match. You can accelerate the hiring process. Just sponsor a job and you'll get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Fast hiring, no speeding tickets. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the sevens, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
10 states have now reached President Biden's goal to vaccinate at least 70% of adults with at least one dose coast by July 4th. The CDC said yesterday most of those states are in the Northeast. Meanwhile, the FDA has granted emergency authorization to a third antibody drug designed to cut down hospitalizations and deaths from COVID-19. And the World Health Organization reports overall coronavirus infections have dropped 14% over the past week, and deaths are down 2%.
That is wonderful. Well, I'm going to be interested to see what happens flying, because this will be the first time I've flown since the pandemic. And I'm flying domestically, obviously, today down to Miami, and you don't have to show any tests. So I'm wondering if I'm going to have any fresh people on my flight. Oh, I hope so. I hope so. But anyway, we will be back momentarily with the 77 WABC early news at 6 o'clock and some more of your headlines. Sid will be in with sports and some other fun
That's
stories.
That's right. Well, some audio from last night's mayoral debate as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. And also an exclusive on Hillary and Bill.
The world to around the block. This is your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk on WABC.
77 WABC news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work. I'm Frank Morano on 77 WABC with your seven stories in 77 seconds. Nine families are grieving and searching for answers in California's latest mass shooting. Their loved ones were killed at a San Jose rail yard. Police say the suspect gunned down nearly everyone on the morning shift, including some he'd worked with for years. President Biden is taking new action to find out exactly how coronavirus began in China. He's ordered aides to expand their investigation. That includes looking at theories the virus may have accidentally leaked from a lab. Three Texas officers are doing okay after being shot while checking on a possible suicidal person. They responded to a home near Dallas only to have a man open fire on them. And an Amazon construction site in Connecticut is shut down again after an eighth noose was found. Workers saw it entangled in electrical cables on the fifth floor of the planned warehouse. Investigators think it had been there for at least 2 weeks. Hockey fans are gearing up for another night of NHL playoffs. The Predators will fight to stay in it as they take on the Hurricanes in Game 6. And a beach on Florida's Gulf Coast is being named the best in the nation this summer. TripAdvisor puts St. Pete Beach near St. Petersburg, Florida, not Russia, as number one. Second on the list goes to a beach in Hawaii on the west coast of Maui. California scored four spots on the top 25. And finally, it looks like a group of bears felt left out of a pool party in Tennessee. Michelle Johnson shared a YouTube video that showed seven bears getting into a pool with high school students. After it is 67 degrees from the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamunian will put you to work. I'm Frank Morano on 77 WABC.
WABC, New York.
Lydia Serrani, entertaining and informative.
Half of Americans are idiots because they only watch one news source. I encourage you to listen to us, to listen to as much news as you can. And that's my job here, is to make sure that all sides of the story are told.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the 77 WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
I'm Juliet Huddy. Happy Thursday, everybody. We've got a lot of news to get to, Frank, including the notorious New Yorker known as Central Park Karen is back in the news. You paid attention to this story, I would imagine, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She made headlines after a cell phone video went viral showing her calling 911 on an innocent bird watcher who happened to be black. She is now suing her former employer. She says her firing caused severe emotional distress and she was suicidal. The employer is an investment firm. They call the allegations baseless. They say that they responded appropriately. This is all kind of in response to this 2020 event in question, notable for the fact that she told emergency operators that the black man was threatening her life when video proved that he did not.
Well, they fought over almost everything, hurled insults back and forth, and caused so much general chaos that both had to have their microphones muted in the debate last night between the two Republican candidates for mayor. Here's a sample of one of the Republican challengers, Fernando Mateo, attacking his opponent, Curtis Sliwa.
And today we're going to take the mask off his face and show every Republican out there who the true Republican is here. I don't understand why I have an appointment and an opponent running as a Republican. He's never been a Republican. And that's what New York City needs to know. If you want change, you want honest change. You don't want lies. You don't want fabricated stories. You don't want people that are taking credit for things they've never done.
In the small portion of the debate that did focus on policy, they agreed that public safety was the most critical issue facing the city, and both pledged not to defund the police and instead add police officers to the department.
Well, as the walls potentially close in on the former president, word today that his lawyer might also be sweating some bullets, and not just because it's hot outside. Prosecutors investigating Rudy Giuliani have reportedly seized material used by Ukraine's former chief prosecutor. This is the same guy that the former mayor was asking to supply dirt on Joe Biden. The news apparently part of an unsealed court document that also revealed prosecutors have material from email and iCloud accounts for several other Ukrainian officials. The Daily Mail reporting CNN and the Daily News somehow accessed the names by copying and pasting redacted passages onto a new document. Giuliani, obviously, who hosts a show here at WABC, is being investigated for his dealings with Ukraine leading up to the recent election.
607, somebody that so far has not been named as a suspect in that investigation.
Not yet.
It's only 607, though. Yeah. That person is Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
Well, we got a big problem, Frank, with New Jersey Transit now. There is no service in and out of Hoboken. It is completely suspended. Police activity. And the last stop for those trains is Secaucus. So, again, as you've come inbound, you're going to have to get off in Secaucus if you're coming into the city, and then get on the regular, the other New Jersey Transit trains that go in there. But again, there is no service in and out of Hoboken. This is a very big deal. That includes the light rail. Also, we have a report that the ferries are not operating too. So obviously something fairly major going on there at Hoboken Terminal in Hoboken. If you're on the southbound side of the Deegan, an accident, two lanes are out, left and center lanes out of service, and also down by Yankee Stadium on that off ramp, that vehicle fire is still being cleaned up. And then 109 southbound, right out by Newark Airport, an accident that's being cleared. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations once again today are in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thanks very much. From your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, the latest forecast has today looking absolutely gorgeous with abundant sunshine, 83 degrees. That is perfection. And hold on to it and enjoy it, because Friday, Saturday, and Sunday look pretty lousy. Friday, we're going to be in the mid to upper 60s. We're going to have some rain throughout the day and evening. Saturday, 56 degrees will be the high, and rain again throughout the day and evening. Same thing with Sunday. We'll get a little bit warmer, up to 60 degrees with showers throughout the day and evening. But finally, they will go away. And Monday, Memorial Day, we'll have some beautiful weather, 72 degrees with sunny skies. And currently right now in New York City, it is 67 degrees.
The famed Caroline's on Broadway Comedy Club will reopen tonight for the first time since the pandemic began 14 Yay. Months ago. Comedian Donnell Rawlings will take the stage. Club owner Caroline Hirsch says the audience will include both vaccinated and unvaccinated New Yorkers. The club can hold 300 people. But Hirsch says she does not have the staff to serve everyone. She says servers and kitchen staff have been slow to come back to work. People may have heard Ms. Hirsch on the Cats at Night show earlier in the week, where she was talking about how exciting it was for her and her staff to be able to reopen again.
So she's having problems having her staff back?
That's what she said, yeah.
Is that because they're getting paid more not going back?
Well, she did not say that in her interview with John, mm-hmm. but that was the implication.
Mm. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because that's a great place to work, I would imagine. Just comedy and laughs and a positive environment. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton were seen having dinner with friends on the Upper East Side Tuesday evening. Fleming by Le Bill Bouquet, that is the restaurant. Apparently, though, according to the Daily Mail and their little photographers, their paparazzi, Hillary, who was sipping white wine, looked glum as her, quote, ever-engaging husband was deep in conversation with Sting's wife, Trudy Styler. Now, I don't believe that Sting was there, but Trudy was, and apparently they were posing for pictures together with her head rested on Bill's shoulder. By the way, this is the same restaurant whose workers back in 2019 claimed that bosses told them to Google the names of guests before giving them reservations so that they could ensure guests are high class.
Well,
I have a feeling a lot of places do that. I got to tell you.
I think you're probably right. If it's a day that ends with a Y, then it's a day where you get to hear about new incentives for getting vaccinated.
Oh.
Governor Andrew Cuomo is offering up a shot at 4 years of free college to young New Yorkers who get COVID vaccinated. Beginning today, the state will give away raffle tickets for 50 full tuition rides at either a SUNY or a CUNY school to teenagers who roll up their sleeves. Raffle winners will be announced every Wednesday during the vaccination promotion that ends in July. Just under 9% of New Yorkers aged 12 to 17 are fully vaccinated.
Wow. Well, workers in New Jersey can soon go maskless if they've been vaccinated. That is the word from Governor Phil Murphy. He made the announcement yesterday. And all of the folks that have been working remotely, I would definitely suggest putting your phone on mute, throwing it out into the pool and pretending like you don't have it around because your phone is going to start ringing. Murphy says that workers can now be called back into the office. The new orders go into effect next week.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the teen who was robbed here in New York. NYPD cops searching for a crew of men who mugged a teenage girl as she waited for a bus in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, Sunday night. The men grabbed the 16-year-old's hair and yanked her to the ground as she stood on Bragg Street around 9 p.m. They stole her cell phone and then poured an unidentified liquid on her. So far, police have made no arrests.
For the viral video today, Christian, get ready for this, because I'm talking about Georgia's newest rep, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She cannot seem to stop talking about Holocaust-related topics, including Hitler. There's a somewhat jarring video that has just resurfaced. It's been out there before, but for some reason didn't really get the attention that it is getting now. And it shows her defending the concept of a statue of the Führer here in America. Here's what she had to say.
Whether I see a statue that may be something that I would fully disagree with, like Adolf Hitler, maybe a statue of Satan himself, I would not want to say take it down. But again, it's so that I could tell my children and teach others about who these people are, what they did, and what they may be about.
These comments were made at a Dalton, Georgia City Council meeting last June, shortly after she won the GOP primary there. She's been under fire, obviously, as you guys know, for comparing measures meant to keep people safe from COVID to the Holocaust.
Facebook is adjusting its rules on certain posts regarding the origins of COVID-19. Politico reporting the social media platform will now allow posts that claim the respiratory illness was man-made. The decision comes after President Biden announced his order to investigate where the virus originated. A recent article from the Wall Street Journal shed light on the possibility of coronavirus being created in a lab, which has ignited more discussion on the topic. Facebook put a mandate in place last December saying it would remove posts containing misinformation on the illness.
And as we've been telling you, Amazon was poised to buy MGM, and Variety reports the deal is done. Amazon purchased the studio and its titles for roughly $8.5 billion. The move merges the Amazon studios, which mainly does television stuff, with MGM's massive catalog of more than 4,000 movies, 17,000 TV shows. It is the largest acquisition in Amazon's history, following its snagging of Whole Foods for, as Frank mentioned earlier in the week, $13.7 billion in 2018. But interestingly, I just realized this, Frank.
Mm.
The MGM property, I think, includes The Apprentice.
Ah.
And we've heard a lot about The Apprentice outtakes from President Trump, who was then, of course, just he was the host of the show, and he was then just Citizen Trump. Jeff Bezos owns Amazon. Jeff Bezos, not a fan of Trump. Could these outtakes now be let out?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I know. I I would like to think that I came up with it myself, but it was actually something that I saw.
All right. Well, clever nonetheless.
Yes.
Speaking of clever, here to tell us what's happening in the world of sports is the always clever Sid Rosenberg.
Yeah, aforementioned Donald Trump played a round of golf yesterday, surprised everybody in Colts Neck, New Jersey.
How did he do?
Three members, the pro, sat down, had lunch with everybody. The place went berserk. I don't know how.
Wait, at Bedminster?
Colts Neck.
Oh.
Colts Neck, New Jersey.
That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is a gorgeous
place. It's home of a Huddy, the Revolutionary War hero, Joshua Huddy.
There you go.
Is got not big presence there to Julia.
Well, no. According to one of my relatives.
Right.
I don't believe her.
Yeah, he probably is related. I would go with it anyway, who you know. Although
I have.
I have never taken credit for Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, I can tell you that.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's start with the Knicks. When was the last time the Knicks won a playoff game, folks? 8 years ago. 2013, and it looked like they weren't going to win last night either. They dropped game one Sunday night, found themselves down by 13 at halftime last night, but they went berserk in the second half. Did the Knicks outscored Atlanta 57-35 en route to a 101-92 game two win. Julius Randle once again did not shoot well. He had a double-double with 15 and 12, but the star was Derrick Rose. Rose scored 26 off the bench, led the Knicks to the second half win. Here he was after the game.
Going through everything that we went through in the game, fighting and scratching and clawing to get there, playing against a great young team. So to get that far and to play the way that we played, to come back and get the lead, and not only that, but to win, it shows a lot. It shows fight.
Game three coming up, Knicks and Hawks 1-1 Friday night. Also NBA last night, top seed in the West, Utah blew out Memphis 141-129. That series is tied a game apiece. And in the East, the top seed, the 76ers, blew out the Wizards 120-95. That series is now 2-0 Philadelphia. Mets rained out against the Rockies in Queens. Yankees rained out against Toronto in the Bronx, I should say. And playoff hockey last night, for the first time in nearly 30 years, the Islanders wrap up a playoff series on the island. They beat the Penguins last night 5-3, wrapped up that series in six. Here's Brock Nelson on the home win.
It was fun to get it done tonight in front of them. And it's just one step. We want to try and, you know, make some history of our own here and put a nice run together at the goalie.
Second-round opponent for the Islanders, the Boston Bruins. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports at 15-45, celebrating home wins, playoff wins for the Knicks and the Islanders, I'm Sid.
617 with traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe.
All right, Frank, Grand Central inbound to LaGuardia. Accident, one lane out if you're on Route 28 eastbound in Bridgewater. An accident with a tractor-trailer, accident investigation right around 287. Also, 1 and 9 by the airport, there is a collision. Now, the big issue is New Jersey Transit trains. All service heading into Hoboken will terminate in Secaucus. That with police activity. Again, a report of suspicious package down on Grove Street underneath the tracks. And alternate side of the street. Parking rules are in effect. Also, the N and the Q is on the R to count the Canal Street. That would switch trouble. And like I said, alternate side is in effect. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much. Frank has business coming up momentarily, but in your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center forecast, it is going to be beautiful today, 83 and sunny. The rest of the weekend looks absolutely miserable. It's going to be rain Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with chilly temperatures. But by Monday, it looks beautiful for Memorial Day, 72 degrees and a mix of clouds and sun. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 67.
Well, in the world of business, yesterday the stock market was about even. The Dow up almost 10 points, the S&P up 8 points, and the NASDAQ gained 80 points. The new battery factories being built in cooperation between General Motors and LG Energy Solutions may have union workers. The two companies say they will support the workers at the facilities if they seek to have union representation. Until recently, both GM and LG were non-committal on the issue. In a statement, the company said they will respect the efforts of the UAW to organize at the new facilities in Ohio and Tennessee. The UAW had pressured GM to support their efforts. And a federal judge in California is rejecting Bayer's $2 billion class action proposal to resolve future lawsuits claiming Roundup weed killer causes cancer. The judge said yesterday that the proposal would accomplish a lot for Monsanto and a lot less for the Roundup users who are currently healthy. Monsanto was acquired by the Missouri-based agriculture company Bayer in 2018. The agreement would have paused litigation linking Roundup to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma for 4 years, Juliet.
I'm watching what's going on Twitter, and Juan Williams is trending. I was about to start sending him a message, and I realized that he follows me, which I didn't realize. So I'd like to find out what the real scoop was.
Interesting. You got to report back.
I will, definitely. Ron Williams, if you hadn't heard, is leaving The Five. He's not leaving Fox News. He's just going back down and staying in D.C. Let's bring in Mr. Sidney.
For our final time with him this week. This is the final time the three of us are going to be together.
Yes.
This week and next week.
Oh, you're off next week?
All next week.
Are you?
Today's my last day till Monday, June 7th.
Aren't you going to Hawaii or something?
Something like that.
So you're off tomorrow. Juliet's off tomorrow.
Bernard is off tomorrow.
Wow.
Bernard is back on Tuesday, and I'm back the following Monday.
Yes, I will be back on Tuesday. Juliet and I will be reunited on Tuesday, but we won't have you.
No.
Until the following week.
Monday. Now, where are you going?
Well, I'm just taking the day off for Memorial Day.
Oh, really? To honor the actual soldiers or to just eat?
Well, I think there's going to be time enough for both.
I don't think so.
I'd also like to throw something out there that our friend, Mr. Frank Morano, this weekend is celebrating a birthday.
Is that right?
No, yes, he is. No. I finally found out how old he is, and I'm not going to tell you.
Well, why not, though?
Because I'll tell you privately, maybe.
I don't. But why do
He's
people
weird
get upset?
About this. I know.
It's weird. So stupid.
Is there, what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show today? Just answer that question.
We're going to be celebrating another time, Frank, because obviously we're not going to be together on your birthday. But I've got something in store for you.
Oh boy,
why do you not like to share that stuff? You're a good looking guy. I mean, I'm 54. I'm proud this year because I think I look better than my age.
Yeah, right? Me too.
So what's the problem?
Yeah. Well, it's because I look much worse than that.
No, you don't. That's ridiculous.
Give us what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show.
Well, it's Thursday. That means Bill O'Reilly will be here. He's always fantastic. And his book, Killing the Mob, is doing really, really, really well. So he'll be here today. Also, my buddy Chris Marmondo from Gravesend. You know, he went to prison. He had all kinds of personal issues, much like mine. But his are more deep in that he did go to prison. I just went to jail. He's going to come in and talk about, I guess, redemption, inspiration, and how a guy like him who had nothing a decade ago is now living a pretty decent life. So he'll be in live in studio. And then, of course, we're going to break down all the stuff from last night, that debate, if you want to call it that, between Curtis and Fernando, which was a circus, basically. All the latest local and national politics and a lot of sports today, too, with the Knicks and Islanders both winning home games last night. That has not happened in this town for a long time. The Knicks hadn't won a playoff game in 8 years at all, and the Islanders have not won a playoff game on home ice in nearly 30 years. So there's a lot of exciting, uplifting stuff to talk about today, too, besides the everyday nasty political stuff.
Speaking of nasty political stuff, did you watch that debate with Curtis?
I saw some of it. Look, it was a very rough TV night for me. I had the Knicks. I had the second part of the reunion for the Real Housewives of New Jersey. I couldn't miss that.
Oh, yes.
That season is now over. They're about to tape the new season. Dolores is on Wendy Williams today, by the way, 10 o'clock.
Oh, great.
So I was very busy. I don't have time to watch anything in its entirety. Anything. I have to watch four or five shows at once.
Now, by the way, I saw an Instagram post from Dolores. Oh, my God. She is smoking.
The one in her underwear yesterday?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, what?
Oh, that's a bit much.
Good for her. Yeah. A bit much, please. Flaunt it if you have it, I say.
Okay. Well, she did. So this weekend, Frank is going to do that. Frankie here to celebrate his birthday.
You're not a Friends fan, right, Sid?
I never liked the show. Never liked it. I watched occasionally now and then, but I never got into it. I knew that David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston liked each other. I mean, all these things that are coming to light now before the reboot, I thought we knew all that stuff. Didn't we know that Schwimmer and Aniston were an item for a little while?
Wait, what? They were?
Yes. Of course they were.
I don't know that.
Actually, I didn't know that.
The first season they liked each other. That was.
Well, their characters did, but I didn't know.
No, in real life they did. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Weird.
I never a big fan of that show. I love Adam Duritz, the lead singer of the Counting Crows, and he actually had sex with both, this is real life, Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston.
Now that is impressive.
Now you're talking.
Wow.
Matt LeBlanc didn't do that.
All right. Yeah. Well, catch the Bernie and Sid show coming up at 6:30. Big thank you to Peerless Boilers for making the preview of the Bernie and Sid show possible.
Have a good vacation.
Yeah.
Sydney. Is he still going to London?
He's going to Hawaii, from what
I know, but also later in the month he was supposed to go to London.
He took his headphones off. Are you going to London? Which is August he's going to London.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Well, there you have it. All right. Well, before we get out of here, I do want to tell you that a bill to create a Capitol riot commission could face an uphill battle in the Senate today. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said he'd call for a vote before the holiday weekend. So far, only three Republican senators have said they'll vote for it, but 10 are needed to pass it.
This may be my favorite story of the week, if not the year. This and this. Researchers at Coventry University in Britain say taking regular baths is actually healthy for you, not just because it keeps you squeaky clean, but because it increases blood flow, body temperature, and heart rate, just like exercise. Just like exercise! In fact, these probably very capable, intelligent scientists say hot bathing can mimic the benefits of running, and it could also help relieve depression. So you don't want to run? No problem. Get your little lavender bath salts ready, fire up the faucet, and baby, I'm coming in.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
How great is that?
That is great.
I'm like, I have a newfound love for baths.
Are you a bath person or a shower?
I'm a shower person. Baths, I get bored really fast. But why doesn't shower do the same thing if it's in a really hot shower?
I know. It's not the same. You don't relax your whole body as you do in a bath. It's not the same.
Yeah, that's true.
Chicago police are starting a new foot pursuit policy. Officers will no longer chase someone in minor traffic offenses. Body cameras must also be turned on. The changes follow two deadly shootings in March. The current version of the policy will be implemented June 11th.
Fabulous. And this is it for us, buddy.
Well, it was great while it lasted. I'll see you on Tuesday, Julia. I'll be back tomorrow for those of you who are news junkies. And I'll be back tomorrow starting at 1 a.m. Have a great trip, Juliet. We'll miss you.
Thank you. I'll miss you. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Joe Nolan's got the traffic next.
Grand Central Parkway coming inbound at LaGuardia. An accident, one lane out, Route 28 eastbound in Bridgewater. That accident continues, tractor trailer and an accident investigation right around 287. Southbound 1 and 9, Newark Airport. That accident also being cleared. Now, New Jersey Transit trains. All service into Hoboken will terminate in Secaucus. That police activity, a suspicious package on Grove Street in Hoboken. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are in effect to support a service of Rocket Mortgage. When you're ready to buy a new home and want a mortgage lender who can help you plan with certainty, Rocket can. Need a lender who can help you understand all your mortgage options, get personalized loan options and closing costs and tax estimates all in real time? Rocket can. Rocket Mortgage. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7th. Talk Radio 77 WABC.